I am an atheist. I personally believe that God does not exist. And this doesn't come from a place of hate or anger. I just genuinely look at the scientific evidence. And to my mind, I think we are creations of science.
Welcome to Global Focus with Rohan Joshi. He's joining us from Bombay in India. I'm Zeenat Hansrud. 34-year-old Rohan Joshi is a famous cat lover and comedian with 4 million followers on Twitter. He's one of the four members of All India Backchod, a group that draws on comedy to address and or criticise all aspects of life in India. AIB has become a social-cultural phenomenon which has fully and successfully exploited the potential of digital platforms, online communication, be it YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, etc. Rohan was born in Bombay and lives in India, a country of 1.2 billion people where over 1,700 languages are spoken. It is home to most of the world's religion, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Jainism, to name but a few. Rohan, you grew up in a Hindu household where Hinduism was regularly practiced with chants and pujas, and that's religious rituals. And you grew up in a country which made you aware of other religion. What made you become an atheist?
I was very fortunate in the sense that while my parents are both quite religious and while both of them practiced rituals and things like that, they always gave me the freedom to choose and read whatever I want. None of these rituals were ever forced upon me. I was occasionally asked to participate in them if I was required for the ritual, because, you know, there are certain specific rituals where it must be the son and the father or the mother and the son and all of those things. So I was occasionally asked to participate, but I was never forced to practice any of those things. And my parents always encouraged me to ask questions and to read things. And I think, as a result of that, of just the things that I read and studied and learned along the way, I think I just came to a position of atheism naturally. And then when I told my parents, they were like, that's fine, we respect that. So I was very, very fortunate to be able to come to it, because there are a lot of families who would not be comfortable with that.
What made you decide one day, I'm an atheist?
I think it was just gradually over time, thought process. My parents always encouraged me to be very scientifically minded. And once that happened, the more I thought about it and the more I read and the more I studied, it wasn't an emotional decision at all. It was a simple, it was one of those, once you have eliminated the impossible, the improbable must be the truth. And I eliminate, and at this point, the existence of God on a scientific basis just seems impossible to me, or of an intelligent creator, at least, that we answer to, seems kind of impossible to me. And so I have to go with the idea that we were created by science. And I remember very clearly, I was about 15, 16 years old, and I was on a bus home from somewhere. And I remember looking up and thinking, yeah, God feels like a construct that the frightened construct to hang on to certain things. And I remember thinking that this is not an emotional decision at all. This is just what I scientifically, empirically believe. And then it was just about coming to terms with that.
How old were you when that happened?
I was about 15, 16 when I first started to realize that I may not believe in God. But again, I have to clarify that I continued with religious rituals for at least another 10 years, mostly because I just participated in whatever rituals my parents were doing. So I didn't start sort of planting my feet in the ground and having conversations with my parents about how I didn't want to participate in certain religious rituals until much later.
So you don't participate in any religious rituals anymore?
I try to avoid as many of them as I can. I still occasionally participate just to make my mother happy, but only if it's a private ritual at home. I do not participate in any public shows of religion as far as possible, no matter what religion.
You're very outspoken about being an atheist in India, if I may add. Did you receive a lot of criticism for that?
You know what? To be fair, I've never been criticized for being an atheist. I've never had anybody come to me and be like, how dare you be an atheist? Embrace a certain God. I get criticism occasionally for calling out certain religions and calling out certain religious practices. But nobody has ever abused me for saying that I do not believe in the existence of God.
So you see yourself as a skeptical freethinker?
I guess you could say that. I do see myself as a skeptical freethinker.
Criticizing religion, any religion, is punishable by law in India.
That depends on the criticism of the religion. I don't think criticism of religion is punishable by law in India. I think it's a defamation or hurting the sentiments of religion that is punishable by law. And also, if I'm not mistaken, now my law is a little shaky, but the standard for defaming a religion or causing hurt sentiments of the religion, the court describes it as a reasonable-minded person or the hardest-to-offend person. The standard here is not the first person who gets offended when you criticize a religion. The standard here is how offensive is it. If I just say I don't believe in God, no religion can come after me and be like you're criticizing religion. And more than legally, sometimes it can be socially, not dangerous, but socially tense to have conversations about the uncomfortable aspects of religion. But legally, it depends on the gravity of the insult, is my understanding.
But you said yourself that you are very critical of some aspects of the various religions practiced in India.
I am. But the good thing is that it's not just me. And it would seem unfair to suggest that it is just me. There is, in fact, a very large community of liberal people and even religious people who have reached a point where they no longer have tolerance for certain practices in the religion. Like one example we can give is right now, there's actually a very spirited conversation going on about Islam and triple talaq in India. And there are religious people, not just people from outside Islam, but people even within Islamic factions in India that are saying it's 2017, triple talaq cannot possibly be the way to go.
For our listeners, triple talaq is divorce. So a Muslim husband can divorce his wife after saying three times, I'm divorcing you.
Yes. Similarly, there's also a conversation going on about how, for example, last year there was a very spirited protest about how certain temples do not allow women to enter them. And there was a women's group, a Hindu women's group that was led entirely by women that stood up and said, why? Are we less in the eyes of God? Are we less in any way? So there are many spirited conversations, and more than just me as an atheist criticizing people, what is interesting to see is you have the actual stakeholders in these religions. So you have Muslim women and Hindu women and men and women and, you know, Christian men and all of those people who are sort of standing up and also questioning certain aspects of these religions. That's happened. The sort of progression is slow, but it is happening. It's entering the consciousness.
Do you feel that it's moving the ball forward towards more tolerance?
It's hard to say at this point, honestly. You know, there's that old, I think, Greek story about the man who used to push the rock up the hill. And then at night he'd return home and the rock would come back down the hill. And then the next morning he had to start all over again. Sometimes it feels like that. That's also because in India, religion and politics are very closely intertwined. We have a very uncomfortable history of mixing our politics with religion and then splitting voters along religious lines. And you can trace this all the way back to in the 80s, there was this very famous judgment called the Shabano judgment, where the Supreme Court of India ruled that a Muslim widow should be entitled to certain benefits. But then to sort of appease Muslim voters at the time and the Muslim clergy at the time, the then Prime Minister of India, Rajiv Gandhi, he overturned the Supreme Court's judgment and said that, no, you know what? Under Sharia law, she's not entitled to anything, so she shouldn't get anything. That was a huge setback. And on some level, our country's been dealing with the fallout from that in many, many levels also. So is there progress? Yes. But sometimes it's frustratingly slow, especially because of the way our politics works.
It seems to me that only a handful out of the billion living in India claim they are atheist. You can be vocal about your choice because of the position you enjoy.
Yes.
Your fame?
Yes.
Because you're a man and because you live in a city?
All of those things. I have so many layers of privilege that protect me. I am so many things. First of all, I am Hindu, which in India is already a privilege. On top of that, if you look at our caste system, which is another unfortunate thing, I was born a Brahmin, which according to Hinduism is the most revered caste. Plus, I'm a man. Plus, I come from a position of financial privilege. So as a result of that, I have a lot of support systems that allow me to be able to be vocal about this stuff. But some people don't have, a lot of people don't have that luxury.
In March this year, a father was murdered in southern India because he said he was an atheist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's been a troubling sort of pattern of rationalists being murdered in India as well, because there was a fear of them sort of destabilizing religious structures with rationalist thought. So it is very much a volatile conversation still in this country.
It seems to me, Rohan, that everything you say indicates how much you love your country and how you endeavor to fight all that you think is going wrong in India. That can be the definition of a patriot?
Sure, it can be.
Now, with the added layer of an atheist, how do you feel about the prevailing ideology of Hindutva, a philosophy which seems to be encouraged by the ruling BJP government.
Hindutva makes me extremely uncomfortable for multiple reasons. One is, it is an inherently militant ideology in the sense that it advocates going in and taking certain things as opposed to conversation being the distinct. The other reason that I'm very wary of Hindutva is that it's becoming the byword for Hinduism, which is incredibly frustrating because they're two very distinct philosophies. Hinduism is the larger, more sort of benevolent, tolerant philosophy, while Hindutva is the sort of almost weaponized version of that. Three, the other thing that upsets me about it is, like you said, the current ruling party leans very heavily on Hindutva principles to occasionally unite factions and also divide factions. And I feel like when you ask me if there's progress, I feel like that's a step back in our politics, because our politics is entirely being co-opted by religious identity politics. It has been for a while. And I think this is the logical conclusion of that sort of identity politics that started 30 years ago. This is the reckoning that it has led us to. And it sucks because I firmly believe that it's this sort of squabbling and focus on this that actually stops us from unlocking our true potential as a country.
So you don't believe in gods or a god. What do you believe in? What nourishes the spiritual aspect of your life?
What nourishes the spiritual aspect of my life? And I think for me, and this is the thing that is attractive to me about atheism over religion, is, I'll use an example to that. You know, like people use the argument that life is a miracle that God gave us. But I think to myself that life is way more of a miracle if you consider that there was no God, that there were just a bunch of random scientific features and random scientific variables that out of the one in a trillion chances of combining in a specific way to make life, that one in a trillion chance happened at some point over the age of the universe. And now here we are. And I'm very spiritually nourished by that. I'm very spiritually nourished by this idea of infinite possibility and infinite capability, as opposed to a sort of pre-programmed route that was set down by God or by men of God. Because everything you look around you suggests that if God made us in his likeness, then God is at best extremely flawed and not omnipotent. So I'm very spiritually nourished by this sort of idea of the universe being a place of chaos, where somehow some form of order and stability finds itself, and that life pushes itself through the chaos, and that in some way life is an expression of that chaos. And I'm very spiritually nourished for that, because to me it shows that the universe is a place of infinite possibility.
Rohan Joshi, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.